Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the United States Navy Recruiting Service, presents Now Hear This, dramatic stories based on the personal experiences of those gallant men and women who embody the great traditions of a great service, the United States Navy.
During 30 years in the Navy, sailor manages to get aboard every kind of ship that floats. Now, I've tossed a duffel bag aboard everything from a sub to a PT boat to a destroyer to an aircraft carrier. Aircraft carrier. Sounds like a lot of power, doesn't it? Well, it is. That is, if you're talking about the ones that are steaming around the Pacific today. However, after that outing the Japs had on December the 7th, well, we were just about down to scratch. We needed carriers, and we needed them fast. So fast that we couldn't wait the 2 years it took to build one. And so we settled on what we called baby carriers. And believe me, they were babies. You know, the first time I saw one, I figured she'd been launched in a bathtub. Anyway, one of the first to roll into the sea was christened the USS Tasman. As soon as she got her bottom wet, she started across the Pacific. She stopped at Pearl for a final shakedown and then turned on all 18 knots and went looking for a fight.
The flight deck is made out of redwood, correct?
Correct.
Kind of small, isn't it?
Well, just long enough to get them up and bring them down.
It seems to me, Boats, that this ship is pretty vulnerable. Can't go very fast, and she hasn't enough guns to protect herself.
Well, she can turn on a dime, and the gunners don't miss. At least, they aren't supposed to.
It looks like a lifeboat next to the Lexington.
Well, she'll hold her own. And Captain's orders were for me to show you everything. What's next?
You don't go much for reporters, do you, Boats?
Every man to his own job. What's next?
The rest of the ship's history I can get from the printed material they gave me. I'd like to meet the men. I'd like to get their stories.
Which ones?
The pilots.
Now we've got 24 planes aboard, 12 Avengers and 12 Wildcats.
Well, propaganda's an important weapon, Boats. Helps morale at home and helps the boys themselves.
Every man to his own job. The pilots hang out in the ready room in here. Some of them are in the sack, some looking over their planes, but there's plenty of stories in here. Help yourself.
I'll be able to make it all right from here on.
The captain said I was to stick close by, see that you didn't get hurt.
Oh. Those two in the corner.
The pilots call them the James boys. The blonde one is Jesse, the kid Frank.
And the guy with the pipe?
Operations officer for the group.
At ease, Boats. I'm going to cruise around and get acquainted.
I'll be here.
Mind if I sit down?
Go right ahead.
My name's Charlie Gaines. I'm with American Press.
Yeah, we know.
My syndicate assigned me to the fleet. I managed to wrangle an empty sack on the Tasman Sea.
My name is Ed Juris.
Oh, glad to know you, Ed. Only, I thought your name was Frank.
No, it's a nickname. I'm wingman for Jesse. I mean, Tommy Nelson.
Where are you from, Ed?
Omaha.
What'd you do back in Omaha?
Went to high school.
Huh? How about you, Nelson? Where are you from?
Lexington.
Well, say, I was in your hometown not so long ago.
I wasn't born on the Lexington, mister. It's an aircraft carrier.
Oh. Oh, then you've seen combat.
A little.
The boys are starting a game. You two want to join?
How about it, Jesse?
Got nothing else to do. See you around, Mr. Gaines.
Oh, fellas, don't blame me. I didn't start the war.
The USS Tasman Sea was a taut ship. So are the men who sailed it. Sure, she'd had her keel full of shakedown cruises, but nobody had shot back. And until somebody shoots back, a ship is just a ship, not a lady. The men, well, most of them had roamed the Pacific on various ladies for almost a year and a half, but they still weren't sure. The Tasman Sea was newborn. Most of the pilots were untried, untested. But they weren't going to have to wait long. The Pacific isn't half so big during a war.
Wait until I get everything squared away. Be ready in a second.
What's the word, Boats?
Well, you know as much as I do. Must be getting ready for a sortie.
Okay, fellas. Keep your eyes on this map. Our ship is about here. Heading for this island, Macon. The Marines are going in here. Before they hit the beach, you're going to plaster it.
How about opposition, Randy?
We shouldn't have too much. Plenty of AA, but not too many enemy aircraft.
How many is not too many, Randy?
The Lexington will be sending her birds over the same targets, so let's not all return as aces.
In other words, we're to leave just enough of the island for the Marines to put a flag up.
Yeah. The battleships throw the first punch. Our first group takes off at 0700. Final flight instructions and groupings will be given at 0600. Knock off and get some sleep.
The battle wagons will open up around 0500. Probably won't see much, but you'll be able to hear them.
This Randy Benton, he doesn't fly, does he?
Nope.
Funny, he looks young enough, even with the gray hair.
Well, some guys get prematurely gray.
Yeah, I got a cousin like that. Been gray since he was 19.
Oh? Was your cousin at Corregidor, too?
By November of 43, we could see the road signs that pointed out the route back home. By November of 43, we were quite sure we weren't going to be pushed back home, that we could get there via the Japanese homeland. The Marines no longer had to take each island with their bare hands. By the time we'd rolled as far as Macon, the Navy could lay down a carpet for the Marines to walk on. But don't get any idea that the war was over. We still had a long way to go. And the way was paved with the wrecks of ships and planes, and watered down with the blood of men.
Apple to Red Leader. Over.
Red Leader, this is Apple. Go ahead.
Hey, Jesse, what was the name of the song in the picture where Fred Astaire danced on a bar?
Now, how should I know?
Tune keeps going through my head, but I can't remember the name.
Blue Leader to Red Leader. Over. This is Red Leader. Go ahead. What's on your mind, Tony?
We're about 3 minutes from target.
Check.
Just thought I'd make sure my watch was right.
It's right.
Roger.
Red Leader to group. We hit the beach first. Let's hit it hard. And give that reporter something to write home about.
Enough material for a story, Mr. Gaines?
I'd get a lot more if these pilots would light for a minute. 3 solid days and they're still taking off.
Why don't you catch them before they go below for a quick sleep?
Well, I tried that last night. By the time I got my mouth open, they've got their eyes closed.
Hi, folks. Any of my boys heading for home?
Can't see any soon.
You got a few minutes, sir.
The name's Randy.
I got a nice long pitch the home office wrote for me. It's supposed to warm you up so you'll like me.
Ever use it?
I haven't had a chance.
The guys like you, Mr. Gaines. Mostly because you keep out of their hair.
Of course, you know that if these pigeons of yours don't start opening up, I'm going to lose my job.
You'll get another one.
Well, you see, I can't afford to get fired. I'm liable to be drafted.
Every time a strike was made, the guys on the ship sat and waited. Waited for the chickens to come home to roost. You knew how long it should take to get to the target, drop the bombs, and return to the ship. You knew. But it didn't always work that way. However, we had no complaints. Strike after strike was made, and plane after plane came home. And then, just when the party looked like it was coming to a successful finish... our own flagship, just 2,200 yards off, was hit by a torpedo. Her 20s and 40s started to go, and then her big stuff started to explode, and her belly opened up, and... under she slid. We watched it. We picked up some of her wreckage that had been blown clear onto our own flight deck. We turned it over in our hands as she turned over. We couldn't wait any longer. We had to move and move fast.
Boats, I was counting our planes. 21 got back. 2 were picked up for the Lexington.
I know the figures.
I'm not running the ship, Jesse. What do you want me to do about it?
How's a kid going to find us? How?
Okay. Only, what happened to him?
Some Japs jumped us on the way back. The kid sucked 3 of them off my tail.
Go on.
He was playing hide and seek through the clouds. Tony and I lost him.
How do you know they didn't knock him down?
I talked to him. He was heading for home. Only he hasn't got enough fuel, not half enough, the way we're pulling away.
Apple to Texas. Over.
I'll take it, Sparks. Texas here. Over.
It's the kid, Randy. It's the kid.
Is that you, Randy?
Yeah. Where are you?
I don't know. I got 2 of the zeros. Well, one sure, the other was smoking before I lost him.
Where are you, Frank? What's your position?
I don't know. All the guys get back?
Yeah, yeah. You hit bad?
I don't even know what's keeping the plane up. She looks like a sieve.
Let me talk to him, Randy. Let me talk to him.
I look like a sieve, too.
Now listen to me, Frank. We're at point 740. 740. You got that?
Oh, what a tough break.
740.
We're sailing along course Rose Lemon Light.
Is it dark on the ship?
Dark?
Yeah. It's getting real dark. Did Jesse get back?
Let me talk to him, Randy. Let me talk to him.
Might as well.
Frank, it's me.
Hi, Jesse. We really let him have it, didn't we?
We sure did. Listen, Frank, you won't be able to make it to us. You understand?
I know. I just didn't want to worry Randy.
Well, there's other ships. Maybe you can contact the Lex.
You know something? While I was busy with the Japs, I remembered the song. And I forgot it again. It's like nighttime, Jesse.
Now listen. If you have to ditch, make sure your Mayweather is on tight. Check your shoulder harness. Have your canopy locked open.
What's left of it is on real tight.
The life raft? Frank.
Sure, Jesse.
Why don't we turn the lights on the ship and go hunt for him?
Because there are 800 sailors down here and only one up there. It's called a war.
The engine is starting to miss, Jesse. There isn't enough gas left to fill up a cigarette lighter.
Take it easy, Jesse. Now take it easy.
Never mind the advice, Randy.
Hey, Jesse. Is that reporter around?
Yeah.
Let me talk to him.
Hey, he wants to talk to you.
To me?
Yeah, hurry up.
What can I do for you, son?
I know you're busy, mister, and I know it's a lot of trouble, but, well, in some story you send back, would you mention my name?
Well, sure, son. I'll see you get a whole column.
Just a couple of lines. In the Omaha papers. I got a reason.
I'll see to it. Someone else take over. What do you think I'm made of?
Frank, ditch the plane with power on.
You're the boss, Jesse.
Now give us your position.
As near as I can make out, Sector 5.373.
Take it down easy. Real easy. Use full flaps, but don't stall.
Just like I said. Hey, Jesse. Now I remember the title.
Now take it down easy. Easy.
One for my baby. One more for the road.
Remember that, reporter. If you ever get back to Omaha.
I don't quite understand.
Have one for his baby. And one more for the road.
Most Americans know that the soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen who wear the uniform of the United States donate their own blood freely to help maintain an adequate blood bank. You see, they more than anyone else recognize how vital whole blood and plasma are to the maintenance of life when a man lies sick or wounded. They contribute because they recognize it to be a military necessity of which they themselves may one day be in need. Now, not all of us have the opportunity to serve in uniform, but each of us has the chance to become a blood buddy to an American serviceman. By donating our blood now, we can assure him that there will be an adequate supply to meet the conditions of any foreseeable emergency when he may be in need. At the present time, our supplies of blood plasma are gravely depleted, and each of us must take it upon himself to assure the fact that the blood bank of our armed forces is maintained at a safe level at all times. So do your part for the men who protect our freedom and American way of life. Your Navy urges you to call your local Red Cross chapter today and ask where and when you may make your donation of blood to the armed forces of the United States.
The USS Tasman had seen action. She was a lady.
After Macon, she put into Pearl for improvements and then tied up in San Diego for a load of new planes. And we could taste the long liberty. But before we had time to even wipe the salt water off, the word was passed that the USS Tasman was about to go back into the battle. So she gathered her sailors and dropped the coast of California far behind. The Tasman had been to the wars, and she remembered hard. She remembered the sight of her own flagship being struck down. And she remembered that she, too, had tasted blood and had bled a little.
How's it sound to you, Tony?
Sounds swell. Well, it's got dignity and everything.
That's the best I can do.
Nobody said it was wrong, Jesse.
Well, it ain't good enough. You understand me? Not good enough.
I thought it was swell.
I just don't know how to write this kind of letter.
Nobody does, Jesse.
Maybe something like the reporter wrote in the paper. We never did thank you for the swell things you said about Frank.
I only said what I felt.
Hey, look, reporter.
Hmm?
Do you mind if we call you that?
I did in the beginning. Not anymore.
Well, writing is your business.
Mind if I see the letter?
It's a little crumbled.
Well, I can make it out.
It's to Frank's wife. There's so much to say in it when I put it down on paper.
Dear Mrs. Jurist, this letter is being written by the guys who flew with Ed.
Well, that was his real name.
It's being written not only to you, but to his daughter. It's hard for us to say what we feel, but we'd like to tell you that for the rest of your life, you can be proud of your husband, and the kid can be proud of her father. He was a great guy. So great a guy that he died helping a friend of his get away.
Oh, you weren't trying to get away, Jesse.
I should have stayed.
All we can say, ma'am, is that part of what you feel, we feel. Signed, Jesse, Randy, Tony, and so forth.
No good, huh?
Would you mind if I signed it, too?
Beds stay empty a long time on a carrier. But even these fill up. Ghosts walk around the flight deck. But they try to stay out of sight because it's hard enough to win a war without memories. And so the talk turns to where are we headed, which island is next, and how long is it going to last?
If I didn't know you guys were fighting on our side...
You just play a lousy game of poker.
Well, the next time I write about you heroes, I'm going to mention to the innocent public not to play cards with you.
Well, it's just that civilian dough goes to our heads.
Yeah. Anything you need me for, sir?
Boat, you're the only guy on the ship calls me, sir, and don't think I don't appreciate it.
Come on, reporter. Sit in for a couple more rounds. I promised my girl I'd buy her a fur coat.
Now, hear this. This is the captain. We've just received word that the second front has been opened. Normandy on the French coast has been invaded. Word will be given as it's received. Stand in.
Boy, they must be really living it up back home.
Oh, I don't think so. Those invasions cost.
Everything costs in the war.
It's been a long time coming. Wonder how many ships we lost.
I'd hate to be flying over that coast. They say it's alive.
You're better than walking in.
I did a feature story during the 30s on Normandy. It's pretty country.
Yeah, well, it won't be. A 1,000-pound bomb digs a deep hole.
Thousands of hedgerows.
They won't let us just take over. You can bet on that.
Let's get back to the game.
Hey, reporter, You're up on these things. You got your eye all over the world.
Not quite.
Anyway, you should know. Now that the second front is opened...
Yeah?
They gonna forget about us?
We didn't have too much chance to think about it because Baby was eating away across the Pacific real fast. She and her escorts tied into a task force and kept heading into what was a Japanese ocean. Our destination was a group of islands known as the Marianas. Islands that had to be taken no matter what it cost. And it was due to cost.
Guys, the main fleet is busy around the Philippines. The Japs have most of their surface vessels cruising those waters, so there'll only be a couple of carriers available for this action.
And I thought everyone was in Europe.
The action is to take place on an island called Saipan.
Never heard of it.
The Marines will go in first.
As usual.
The lessons we learned at Macon, we'll put to use at Saipan.
Now hear this. Latest report on the Normandy invasion. 4 points have been secured. And one beach, our forces have gone inland 12 miles. Stand easy.
We're going to have plenty of enemy aircraft opposition.
Reporter, Is 12 miles a lot or a little?
The Jap lines have shortened, and that'll make it tougher all the way around.
A lot, I guess.
The Tasman will concentrate on this part of the island. These pictures are blow-ups of our target.
12 miles ain't so much.
Now, this is where we can expect a troop concentration. The anti-aircraft will be murdered.
Let's fool them and not go.
This is their airfield. Get as many planes on the ground as you can. The guys who don't get off can't hurt you.
Ain't it the truth?
Now, hear this. Latest word from Normandy. The Army is making rapid gains.
So that's where they are.
The Navy is bringing in supplies. Over 3,000 airstrikes have been made.
Now, that's a lot.
I'll keep the entire ship informed as word is received. Stand easy.
Take off at 0600. Final briefing at 0500. Try and get some sleep.
Why is it I never can sleep the night before a big show?
What is this big show?
Remember the movie they showed us the other night? The one where the pilots were always standing at a bar getting medals?
Yeah.
Well, that's what they said whenever they took off.
This is it, fellas. This is the big show.
Oh.
Now let's hit the sack. We got a tough day tomorrow. Tough day? Makes it sound just like going to an office.
What are you guys gassing about? Why don't you hit the sack?
Exactly what I was telling Jesse. Got to get some sleep. Got a big show tomorrow.
Is he kidding?
What squares? Don't you guys ever see any war pictures?
There's always some kind of hidden tension the night before an action. But it's never as bad as the first time you realize that somebody has got you in their sights. Well, the USS Tasman had put in her maiden voyage. And only the men who were new in the Navy slept with their faces to the bulkhead. The night passed, and the final briefing passed. And bright and early, the planes began to screen down the flight deck, out over the Pacific, and on to the office.
Pineapple to orange. Over. This is orange. Go ahead. Over. Sounds like a fruit salad. I wonder who picks out those crazy names.
Orange to group. We're within sight of the target. Keep your eyes peeled for enemy planes.
Eyes peeled. Must be a fruit. Hey, Jesse, look at that airfield. It's loaded with sitting ducks.
Let's get after them.
You heard the man, fellas. This is it.
You and those movies.
Tony. All accounted for, Jesse.
Stay in formation. Let's head for home.
Okay with me. How many more trips do we have to make?
I don't know.
I'm beat, Jesse. Dead beat.
Orange to group. Keep your eyes open. You can relax when we hit the ship.
Now, that's what you said last night.
Orange to Beehive. Orange to Beehive. Over.
Orange, this is Beehive. Over.
We're coming home, Randy.
What's the count, Jesse?
All the chicks are safe and sound.
Things are a little quiet here.
Well, that's good. We're too tired to have to play games coming in.
I got good news for you. We're pulling out.
Now maybe we can sit at a bar and have them pin medals on it.
The sea's kicking up a little, Jesse. Tell your boys to mind their P's and Q's when they hit the flight deck.
Roger. One for my baby and one more for the road.
You okay, Jesse James?
Yeah, I got 2 zeros today.
Nice going.
One for me. One for my brother, Frank.
It sounded easy, but it wasn't. The enemy managed to make it plenty hot for days. Bombs were bouncing 50 feet away, bombs where we'd just been. Our gun crew stood at their stations for 3 solid days, pouring bullets into every Zero, Zeke, and Betty that came screaming at us out of the sun. Our planes kept coming home and reloading so they could go back to soften up Saipan for the Marines. And then Saipan was behind us. But the war continued. The USS Tasman was given another target. And still another.
Keep it down. This is Guam, the target for tomorrow.
The captain said you could get this story off for me, Sparks. I'll read it slowly so that you can get it all.
Now, hear this. The invasion of France is rolling along. 3 towns have been taken.
By the time you read this story, the USS Tasman and her crew will be attacking another island. The men that you've met in my column are the ship. The kids who man the guns. The kids who fly the planes. The kids.
Red leader to blue leader. Target at 4 o'clock.
Each one is a hero. For the word hero means many things.
We sweep in at these 3 points. Expect plenty of opposition.
Blue leader to group. At 9 o'clock. That opposition that Skipper was talking about.
Only a couple of more lines, Sparks. Just so that you won't lose sight of who they are. Just so that they don't become uniforms. So that they don't become fighting machines or, even worse, statistics in your local paper. I want you to know them personally.
Now, hear this.
Tony was in his first year of college. He goes to the movies. He smokes too much.
Pineapple orange? Some show, huh, Jesse?
Jesse is a serious kind of kid. Remembers a little too much. Likes to read books that he's read before.
One for my baby, one for me, and one for Frank.
The war goes on. The pilots are walking to the ready room. The ship is steaming on. The future looks bright, but not too long for some of these sailors. Try to remember what they're fighting for. Try to remember after they've fought. Remember Randy. Too old to fly. Too old at 29.
The target for tomorrow is Tinian. All we know is that it won't be easy. The target for tomorrow is a Jap-held island. This map gives us our target.
So now you know a little something about the baby carrier known as the USS Tasman and the men who flew her 24 planes. I say a little something because it would take a long, long time to tell you all about the ship and the men who sailed it. In the overall strategy of war, I guess she was just another ship, another piece of equipment to shove into action. But to the men who stood on her decks, to the men who took off in her planes, well, she was just about as wonderful a ship as any sailor had ever sailed. The baby carrier, the USS Tasman, came out of the war with 6 battle stars. And, mister, when you earn 6 battle stars, you don't stay a baby. Oh, by the way, one of the most important things in a sailor's life is mail call. No matter how many stripes you wear, no matter how many ports of call you've vented, why, there's nothing on the 7 seas can give you the kick of hearing your name at mail call. So, look, I want to thank everyone who's been kind enough to drop me a line. I want you to know I appreciate it. In fact, I'd appreciate hearing from all of you guys who've shipped aboard. Just address it, now hear this, NBC, New York 20, New York. Thanks again. And until next week at the same time, all hands secured.
The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the United States Navy Recruiting Service, has brought you another in the series of dramatic incidents based on the experiences of the men and women in the United States Navy. In today's story, Boats was Larry Haynes. The cast included Michael O'Day, John Sylvester, Cliff Carpenter, Vinton Hayworth, and Leon Janney. The program was written and directed by David Harmon, produced by Chick Vinson and Cy Levine. Jack Costello speaking. Tune in again next week at this same time when the National Broadcasting Company will once again present...
Now, hear this!
Next, listen to Tales of the Texas Rangers over NBC.